I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. This is Friday and always a safe space from 9 to 11 o'clock on weekdays. For you independent thinkers out there, on Fridays we, for the second hour, do my little segment on False Flag Friday. It's really kind of warmonger watch. I think that's what I may change the title to. And certainly we've got a big one making headlines these days, and that's John Bolton. And another one of them has weighed in, and that's Mike Pompeo. We'll talk about that and some other little foreign policy things that are going on that we're not paying attention to right now with all of our domestic worries. We'll talk about that and finish up the show today with our look back at the lunacy of the last week. There's plenty to look at in there. I've got some good news in there on a couple of fronts. But we're going to take a look at, I think, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, seems to be flaming out in New York. She may have been a bright, shining shooting star that flamed out rather quickly. We're going to talk about that during that period of the show as well. I am doing my third day of live broadcasting from the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone, MAMAZ. And everything's going swimmingly. It's starting to kind of take shape. I did this on a whim, much like the Seattle Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They did inspire me. I must say I drove a little bit of inspiration from that radical left-wing movement, but I've co-opted it for myself and using it for good instead. So it's coming, taking shape. I did my first official act yesterday. I'll get into in just a second, but I saw a poll this morning, or a story this morning on Study Finds, that says across two polls, more than 5,000 adult U.S. residents were recently surveyed on the state of America right now. A staggering 83% say that worrying about the future of the United States is a big source of personal stress. Also, 72% believe this is the lowest point in the country's history that they've ever been alive to see. And I don't know. I think I might be on the side of both of these polls. I might have voted in the affirmative on both of these. I'm kind of with you. 83% say worrying about the future of the United States is a big source of personal stress, and 72% say this is the lowest point in the country's history that we've ever been alive to see. But things are different now because things are going great in MAMAZ. There is no racism. There are no riots. There's no coronavirus. There's no unemployment lines. I mean, I think really this could lead the resurgent. I mean, I might need ultimately to get a few more members in, but I'm just letting you know the water's fine in MAMAZ if you'd like to join me. The economy has taken a bit of a hit in MAMAZ over the last couple of months, but MAMAZ does not have crushing national debt to contend with, so there's that. And because in MAMAZ we have real economic freedom, the future's full of all kinds of possibilities. I have no drag of a massive federal bureaucracy in MAMAZ. So if you live in MAMAZ, you just make a decision to go do something and you just go do it. It's absolutely wonderful. I'm really seeing the perks of this. Now, I did do my first official act. I'm very proud of my first official act of MAMAZ as the founder of MAMAZ has been to move my social media presence from Facebag to Gab, gab.com. Now, this is not in response. Just yesterday, Facebook actually did censor. They did take down some Trump ads for, quote, for violating our policy against organized hate, end quote, it said. Now, this really had nothing to do with my decision, but it does highlight the devil you're dealing with when you're dealing with Facebook. And I'll tell you, it did take me about 15 minutes. So I can understand for all of you out there who just don't have the energy to get off of Facebook. This has been kind of a running theme of this show this week, is taking on as Google, it's kind of stoked it in my consciousness when Google sought to demonetize the Federalist and Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge that I've been reading for 10 plus years. And so I've done a lot on Silicon Valley. And my problem is, if you haven't heard me the rest of this week, is that I am watching a lot of conservative free market people waiting for the government to do something about Silicon Valley. They're waiting for the government to bust up Google. They're waiting for Twitter to be taken down. They're waiting for Facebook to be held to account. You're waiting for the Senate hearings, waiting for the antitrust investigations, waiting for our Department of Justice to do something that you think is good. It may happen, and I'm not really arguing with your desire for those things to happen. I'm kind of with you. I can't stand Silicon Valley. The tech censorship, it's insane. It's Orwellian. But you don't have to actually wait. It took me 15 minutes, and I'm up and running now on gab.com. If you want to follow me from now on, everything will be posted to The Mike Madison Show on gab.com. It was kind of interesting. I signed up as Mike Madison, no space between the two of them. You can search for it, The Mike Madison Show. That's what the page will be. There's actually another Mike Madison on there that I pulled up accidentally when I didn't realize I had to search a particular way. And it's an individual, I guess, but 1776 is somewhere in his description, so you won't be too far from the tree if you end up with the wrong one. But you can look for The Mike Madison Show on gab.com. And I really do encourage people, even if you're not going to close down your Facebook page, you just have to have that connection to your friends or to your political bubble, whether you're on the right or the left. But gab.com, it was refreshing. It was nice. Now, I have still got my Facebook page. I put up a notification that I was moving over there. I do not have a big social media presence. I think I have 300 and something followers just because I don't use the platform. I don't advertise it very much. But let me tell you, I am so thrilled to know I do not have to be the hypocrite behind this mic bashing Silicon Valley and the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Googles while I tell you, hey, I posted a story about it on Facebook. You can set up your own profile on gab.com. It's free. It is a free place right now. I'm always suspicious. They may turn on us at some point. But what was stunning to me is that it took 15 minutes. And it is very similar to Facebook, near as I can tell. Now, I don't know if any of my friends are on there, personal friends, but I will encourage anybody to go to gab.com. At least open an account. At least start to use it. If you can't break your Facebook addiction right now, and trust us, that is an addiction for a lot of people. They cannot stay off of Facebook. They cannot stop posting to Facebook because they want the likes. People crave this. It's an addiction. It's like gambling. You understand the behavioral analytics of likes are like the behavioral analytics of things like slot machines, where they give you these bells and whistles to draw you in and get the excitement, the likes. They've wargamed this thing out. They've got you addicted to Facebook. Anyway, I encourage people to join me over at gab.com, and I look forward to, I will take my Facebook page down after a few days of just having my notice up saying that I am moving somewhere else. Again, I have a very small following. It really doesn't matter. I'm not going to send any shockwaves through Facebook whatsoever, but I will get to, starting next week and going forward, to tell you that I've posted X, Y, and Z articles you may be interested in to gab.com and not facebook.com. And to shake off that level of hypocrisy will be refreshing in and of itself. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Hello? All right. Might have lost him. Sorry, you got to hold for a second on the show. I have to barricade myself in the studio all by myself with the content that I cover here. I got a little bit of other stuff on social media things. Apparently this morning, Twitter had a fallout with Trump again. They labeled one of his tweets a manipulated media thing. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't like Trump's Twitter feed. I think it's cost him 10 points in approval rating over the course of his 3.5 years. But this one is pretty funny. And even with this one, I would have told him, let somebody else put it out. It'll go viral. Trump didn't have to tweet this himself. But to be honest with you, I think he just likes the fight. You know, I was thinking the other day, why doesn't Trump move? We've talked a lot about that on this show. Why doesn't Trump pack up and take his 80 million, 120 million, how many ever followers he's got? I think it's like 89 million, 93 million people follow Trump on Twitter, which includes all of the journalists that have to follow him. This is the beautiful thing. If he moves to an independent platform, the media has to follow him. They have to go open up accounts at a more reasonable, more inclusive, less nasty company than Twitter. They have to follow him. So not only will his fans and his base and everybody else, but the media, all these people who love Twitter for their censorship, would be forced to leave Twitter to go to a place to follow Trump for journalistic reasons. But this video that Trump posted is pretty funny. It's I can't really do it justice. You have to just go watch it. It's a white toddler running after a black toddler. They're big buddies. They had a big reunion. They're running down the street together, but the black toddler is taking the lead and the white toddler's behind him. And the thing is, they make it look like CNN had done a story about racist white toddler chasing black toddler type thing, tongue in cheek. Very funny. And it's the saddest thing to me is that the left has lost their entire sense of humor. The left just, they used to be so funny. I mean, there are a lot of good comedians, a lot of good comedic actors from the left, but now they are really just a bunch of snowflakes, and they've lost all of their sense of humor, but it's pretty funny. But I got to tell you, when I looked at this myself, I was triggered too, and maybe I should file a complaint with her. I was a little triggered. My anxiety of the fact that the black toddler outran the white toddler by such a great distance really kind of triggered my anxiety as a white man who always fell short in athletics in public schools in Jackson because most of my competitors that were black were better athletes than me. I don't know if there's a place to complain for that. I don't know what that's called. But it does trigger us white guys who just couldn't get anywhere in athletics. This is if Trump wanted to move. Okay, so I have moved my Facebook page from Facebook to gab.com. It is the Mike Madison Show. Go follow me there if you're at all interested in what I post. And I don't post a whole lot. I won't wear you out, I promise. The Twitter alternative, I did look it up last night. It's called, I think we had called it Parlay. The caller actually had alerted me to this. I think he called it Parlay. It's Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Here's their story. Parler was founded in 2018 and based in Henderson, Nevada. After being exhausted with a lack of transparency in big tech, ideological suppression, and privacy abuse, our co-founders, John Matzy and Jared Thompson, decided to create an alternative solution. Did you hear that? That's the free market capitalism talking. You might not even recognize it anymore, but that's exactly what happens. Parler provides a commenting and social news platform for digital publishers, influencers, bloggers, writers, politicians, and social users to share news, opinions, and content in real time. Additionally, we provide enterprise tools to advance online blogs, media, and websites with direct social integrations and monetization capabilities. The goal is to offer the world a platform that protects users' rights, supports publishers, and builds communities. That's right. This thing already exists. I've been asking how it is possible that Republicans and conservatives cannot muster the brain power and the capital to put up a Twitter competitor. They don't even need to. It's already put up. P-A-R-L-E-R. It's a Twitter alternative. Trump should move there tomorrow. I think he won't because he likes the fight. It rallies his base to fight with Silicon Valley. I guess I've kind of figured that out. It's a shame, though. Because if any conservatives were actually serious about fighting big tech censorship, they would just move to gab.com and parlor.com. This is, I guess it's just more of what the political theater is. They tell you that they're upset about these things. They tell you this is all unfair, but they won't even go to a place where they might get treated better because they just want to keep it up as a political issue to rally their base. But anyway, there's your alternatives. Who says conservative talk radio show hosts don't ever offer solutions? We just sit around and complain. No. The solutions are right there. Make the move today. Kill this big tech censorship all by yourself. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Caller during the break call in and say that he has moved his social media presence over to gab.com along with the Mike Madison Show. I think he was actually, he was ahead of me. I'm always a late adopter. I should have done this, I don't know, when Gab started. I should have done this a while ago. I'm just so bad at social media. I said it took me 15 minutes to set it up. It took him 10 minutes. Most people are well ahead of me on any technological stuff, even setting up a social media page. And it took me 15 minutes, and I uploaded a banner. You know, my logo's on there, and the WYAB logo's on there. 15 minutes. And just think about that for just a second. Because, I'm bound and determined to reintroduce free market capitalism and competition to the American people because it's lost. It's just gone. I mean, when you have seriously got conservatives and Republicans, and now, again, if you want the Justice Department to go after Google, that's fine. I think there's good arguments to be made that they are running some level of a monopoly and that they're certainly an evil corporation. That's fine. But to sit around and wait on them when the solution for us really is 10 minutes away. 10 minutes at home in your PJs and you're free of Facebook. Instead of the lengthy, costly legal process of trying to break apart Facebook, Google, Twitter, and the rest of them. Now, you can do both if you want to, but to sit around and to not say, well, I'm not going to spend 10 minutes taking my own freedom and getting away from the censors. And the thing is that so many people are resigned. Well, you just don't understand. I know these things are big. I mean, Facebook rules the world. Well, movements happen. Movements just happen. If it just bled through, and again, this is my criticism of Donald Trump, but I understand it. He wants the fight because that rallies his base. If he removes the controversy of Twitter and Facebook censorship, then he loses an issue that he can essentially pander on because conservatives are abused by these groups, so he gets to commiserate. Look, I'm being abused too. It's us against them. I understand the political power of that, but you have to understand that doesn't lead to a solution. So is your goal just to fight big tech, not win, but just fight with them constantly? Or is your goal to win? Because the win is 10 minutes away. If you do go to gab.com, please follow my page and so I can find you and I will follow you. I'm like a new kid at sleepaway camp in another state. I don't know anybody at Gab. I got to find some new friends. But it is stunning to me that we have given up the ghost on the conservative side of things, on the free market capitalism side of things. Most people that profess a desire for free markets and capitalism are instead relying on the government to take care of what is a competitive issue right now. And Gab.com could be huge in the next year if conservatives made up their mind to make it big. At the very least, maybe Facebook becomes the liberal social media. I mean, we've all got our little bubbles. We might as well just have different companies. Right now, you got different bubbles within Facebook. All the conservatives stay on their little groups. Occasionally, they venture out to scream at each other, and then they retreat back into their bubbles. Might as well just completely separate. I mean, this happens. You know, people voluntarily congregate where there's other people. The Gab could be... I mean, if Trump took his supporters to Gab, 30 million people, boom, within a couple of weeks. Because, again, it's 10 minutes, and it doesn't cost a penny. Anyway, I'm just trying to reintroduce, give you your power back. Anyway, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike. Thank you for bringing this up. I didn't even know about Gav, but I'm switching this afternoon.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the interface seems the same. Now, to somebody who really dives into Facebook, maybe they'll see some differences. But for me, it looks like I can just post whatever I want on there. It looks like I don't have a portal. I went to my podcasting company, and I said, would y'all do a pipeline so I can auto-upload to Gab. So I have to physically post my podcast, if I want to Gab. That's the only thing I see. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's right there, already done for us. We don't even have to create it.
But the other thing I would mention, too, is we also have alternatives to Google. We have Start Page and DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, I went over this yesterday. I did a whole first part of my show yesterday. It was a way to de-Google your life. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. I mean, I went through a lot of things. There's alternative to Google Hangouts. There's alternatives. These things exist right now.
And the thing is, if you still search in Google, it's like you're watching CNN, because everything that you search on there is skewed. They don't just censor, but they have that algorithm that if you type in anything conservative, it's going to put it at the bottom of the list, or it's going to hide it, or going to put all the leftist stuff up first. I mean, it rearranges your search results so that you get what they want you to get.
Yeah, and it is not only conservatism that Google has gone after. You know, I do a lot of natural health research for my Hump Day Health show, and I watched in real time, probably started about 2 years ago, but over the course of about 6 months, 9 months, I just noticed every time I tried to search for something on Google, it was further down where it might have been, because I'm pretty specific in my searches. And I would get alternative, because I'll start out with like natural health strategies for, or natural health treatments for, something like that. And it used to be, the top 10 would be some good alternative health sites. Now it's first WebMD, Mayo Clinic, Healthline. It is all the establishment players. And I was as the time was going on, I was having to scroll further and further and further down to find very reputable alternative health sites. So they are doing this across the board. Definitely a left-wing thing, definitely a censorship of conservatism, but it's also a censorship of anything that's really out of the mainstream. If it doesn't fit the mainstream narrative that the left wants to push, it is also sidelined.
Well, I think you covered this too, that they use AI. It's not just an individual going on there and saying, oh, I don't like this. AI, they have an artificial intelligence program that's trained by the leftist, as to what to look for, what to put back. So, it's not even human beings doing it. It's AI, and that's kind of a dangerous thing in itself.
Yeah, and the thing to me about these other companies, I mean, their whole thing is, Gab's whole thing is, we're not Facebook. We're not going to censor you. We're not going to use those kinds of algorithms. We're not monitor. Same thing with this Parler that I just read, the Twitter alternative. I mean, these companies are screaming out and addressing the actual thing that all conservatives are crying about every single day. They're crying out, hey, we're over here. We've built a platform for exactly what you're talking about. And all everybody says is, the Justice Department, we need to break apart all these companies. Well, I mean, that's fine, but go use these guys who are catering to you in a capitalist way.
And going back to CNN, stop watching the mass media. There's enough independent news sources out there that you can find the information and know what's going on. And then I hear the argument, well, I want to hear the other side of the story. I need to hear two sides of the story. You don't need to hear two sides. You need to hear the right side. If we stop as the United States, as a population, would turn the mass media off like we did newspapers, they would go away. They would lessen in importance, and I think to a large extent they already have.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and it's ironic, but I do think Trump is right about the fact that if he is no longer president, it's going to crush CNN and MSNBC and all of these media outlets that just make so much money and get so many eyeballs for the latest outrageous thing that Trump does that they take issue with. It's going to crush them when he's gone, which is actually pretty ironic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for weighing in.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Got to run to a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All right,
me
we
so
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here is 601-879-0002. Today is Juneteenth. I think that's a pretty momentous day. I think it's getting the recognition that it deserves. I can certainly understand the love of this date from the black community. I, talking about social media stuff and my movement from Gab to, my movement from Facebag to Gab.com, you know, I got to tell you, Trump and his social media feed, it's killing him. But then I saw this yesterday. Somebody please tell me that Trump did not actually try to take credit for making Juneteenth famous. You know, I'm keeping the scorecard of self-inflicted wounds on both sides. The Democrats, I mean, they are going to town on self-inflicted wounds. Now, not for their base, right? Right? The radical left base, the Bernie Sanders people, I mean, the people that are just really committed leftists who don't care what Joe Biden does or don't care what the left does. The Trump base, that 30% on that side, they don't care what Donald Trump does. They disagree with me when I criticize him. But there's that leaves 40% in the middle that these parties should be fighting for. And the Democrats, I mean, the abolish the police, it doesn't matter what, the harassing people who are trying to open up for business. There's a lot of independent people out there. There's a lot of independent-minded Democrats that own businesses that have just been crushed by this stuff. And the Democrats trying to crack down on them and shame them out of opening their barbershops or their restaurants is just a huge self-inflicted wound. Those people are who may have voted typically Democrat, see that attack on them and say, hey, what if I've been voting for these people? They won't let me go cut someone's hair. Then they look around and then they see Donald Trump do some other self-inflicted thing. I mean, to the poor people in the middle, like, they don't know what to do. Trump taking credit for making Juneteenth famous is not a good idea. And then yesterday he says, President Donald Trump said some Americans might wear face masks not as a way to prevent the spread of coronavirus, but as a way to, quote, signal disapproval of him. I mean, these are things that just don't need to be said. They accomplish absolutely nothing. And I can hear his base out there right now. Well, it's true. I bet some people do that. Okay, so what? Let them live an uncomfortable existence in some mask in 95-degree heat. They're only hurting themselves. If that's how deranged they are to try to make Trump look bad, then just let them do it. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it just does nothing. You know, I got to tell you, if Donald Trump wants to win in the fall and Republicans want Donald Trump, and I'm probably going to kind of blow this up into a larger segment come Monday. I've already actually started notes on this, on Trump's reelection as I see it. But I think if Trump wants to win reelection in November, I think he's in real big trouble right now. And what needs to happen is a complete flip-flop. Trump needs to go into the basement. And you better hope Joe Biden comes out of the basement, goes in public.
because it helps Donald Trump. The less Donald Trump says, I think the better off he's going to be. And the more Joe Biden says, the worse off Joe Biden's going to be. See, we've had the perfect storm right now. Trump endlessly in front of a microphone during coronavirus and the protest, and Joe Biden laying low. That's a bad recipe for Donald Trump's reelection. It needs to go the other way. Trump needs to be the one that's being quiet for a while, and Joe Biden, people need to start hearing how incoherent and incompetent Joe Biden is for a little while. To make this point, I ran across this story today, and I'm defensive about this stuff. I'll admit it. Because I feel when I talk to people, I don't want a Joe Biden presidency. I mean, I didn't want a Hillary Clinton presidency. It's this binary thinking that if you criticize Donald Trump, oh, I guess you wanted Hillary then. Like, grow up. Just grow up. But this is what's happening, and I say I get defensive because I can hear Trump supporters lashing at the radio. Oh, that's fake news. Quote, instead of bringing us all together, he's pulling us apart, said Donna Oates, a 63-year-old retiree from Chino, California. Gates said she was a Republican until March, when her mounting frustration with Trump and the GOP prompted her to change her voter registration to Democratic Party. Trump's tenure, she said, has made her, quote, dread getting up and turning on the TV in the morning to see any of the news. Now, why in the world somebody would leave one party to go to the other one? I'm kind of that guy, and I'm not really a middle-of-the-road guy, but I'm just so – I hold both of these parties in such contempt. I talked a lot yesterday about the – you think the really big monopoly is Google that needs to be broken up? No, it's the one party, the uniparty system here, the two sides of the same coin, Republicans and Democrats. That's the monopoly that really needs to be broken up. I kind of want to be between the two parties, and when somebody's leaving one, I go, hey, hold on a second now. You don't have to join the other. You can just be an independent person and then decide if one of them has earned your votes. But don't go register. I mean, I'm telling you, I think this country would be so much better if everybody dropped their party affiliation, just in mass, just went and registered as independents. Because conservatives, Republicans wouldn't be quite so sure you'd show up every time, and maybe they'd actually do some of the things you want them to do. To the black community that the Democrats have just taken advantage of and taken for granted for decades now, if they didn't know you were going to vote for them, they might actually try to earn your vote by doing some things that you want. But what they do is they look and they say, well, in this district, how many registered Democrats do we have? Oh, okay, well, we can do whatever we want to. This place is, you know, this seat's a lock. Same for Republicans. You think Republican senators go up there and they go, whoa, we really got to be conservative and deliver for the for Mississippians? No. They say, well, I'm in a red state. I'm safe. All I got to do is do whatever I want to in Washington, D.C. And then when election comes, we'll run some campaign ads saying, if you elect Mike Espy, you're just voting for the socialists. And Republicans will just go, he's right. I mean, Cindy Hyde Smith's not the greatest, but at least she's not a Democrat. I mean, that's the mantra. Because they know which way most electorate's going to go. So they don't have to earn. Now, presidential politics, notwithstanding that maybe they go to some states and promise them a bunch of stuff. Donald Trump set out a series of tweets yesterday about every grant to, I mean, it was multiples. I don't know. It was a dozen tweets, two dozen tweets of, hey, I'm sending $56 million to Ohio to fix roads and bridges. And then right under that, hey, to you people in Kentucky, I'm sending you, you know, $12 million to fix the overpass on I-42. And I mean, it was this long list. It was essentially, as I said, this is going to be the most expensive campaign in the history of mankind. It's Trump sending out tweets going, hey, look, I'm sending you some money. Like it's his, or like the federal government actually has money. They have to take it from all of us first. Conservatives should look at that and go, what the hell? I pay federal taxes so that Ohio gets to fix that road there? Kentucky gets to fix that road there? Oh, there was one for Mississippi. The Delta's getting something up there. Trump said to decrease congestion on Highway 82. But, you know, as somebody who is a former Republican still considers myself a small government guy, I look at those things and go, is this what the Republican Party is? Where we brag about all the money the federal government's spending? Hey, look at this. We're going to send you out some more money. The thing is it works on a lot of people. Oh, look at that. Donald Trump's sending us some money. He's not sending you his money. He's sending you your own money back and then a bunch from other people, too. The government has to take. Anything it gives out, it has to take from somebody first. That's the problem. I did see one thing, one healing thing for, well, I tell you what, let me take a quick break. I'm going to come back. There was a healing article. I saw some photos yesterday of blacks and whites all joined together in the same crowd with common purpose. It was just really uplifting to see in this day and age of racial division. I'll tell you all about it when we come back.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
In a time of such strife and racial tensions stoked by people who make money off of racial tensions in this country, it was nice yesterday. I saw an image of whites and blacks, young and old, big and small, all together in a peaceful way, no arguments, no fighting. It was the kaleidoscope of the American society. Here's the story about it. Some folks waited 10 hours at the Kentucky Career Center to speak with someone about finding assistance with their unemployment claim. 10 hours. Kentucky is not the only state overwhelmed with hundreds of thousands of unemployment insurance benefits claims. A backlog in claims has been observed in many other states as processing capacity has been stretched thin. Some of them, as the most recent backlogs to be reported this week, have been in Maryland, Washington State, Oregon, Michigan, New Jersey, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Headlines in the last couple of days show Americans are starting to protest several state governments' broken unemployment systems. And what I saw was this picture of this giant crowd, whites and blacks, everybody coming together to get unemployment. Because governments don't do anything well, and they can't get their things in this massive, massive, massive unemployment situation we have right now because of governments, both local, state, and federal, locking us all in our homes and crushing the U.S. economy. But never fear, Wall Street baby and darling Larry Kudlow, Trump's economic advisor, and Trump himself say everything's fine. Forget about those people standing in line for unemployment.
Manufacturing, the Philly Fed, and the New York Fed. Future activity indexes are off the charts.
Off the charts!
If I play reference to the Congressional Budget Office, if we get a 20% increase in Q3, which I think is quite possible, a 20% increase in Q4, and a 5% increase in Q1 2021, we will be back to where we were in 2019. We will have made up for the lost ground.
Amazing.
It's not going to take
That's
5 years.
Amazing.
We will have made it up with some decent numbers by the first quarter of 2021.
That's called the Super V, right?
Super V.
Super
I like
v.
the I scenario.
It's called the V. It's called the V plus. Well, that's where we're headed. But we were headed to great things, and then we got hit by the Chinese plague. So, you know, that happens too. And things happen that you don't expect sometimes. So, but we built it once. We're now building it again. And.
So there you go. It's the Super V, the V plus. Now, what I find interesting about that, because of the way I look at the news and I look at press conferences like that through my well-researched brain, where I understand things. Yeah, you can create a lot of economic activity when the federal government and the Federal Reserve spend $10 trillion. They've spent $10 trillion. Dollars. That's almost half of normal GDP in this country. Now, maybe you think that was justified. It's strange that Republicans have overseen the spending of 10 $1 trillion new dollars of debt within a matter of months. Now, for those of you who don't know, when the Federal Reserve spends this money, it just goes on their balance sheet, which most people don't even understand. They don't really know it exists. You just focus on the U.S. debt clock and the tremendous amount of actual on-the-books treasury debt that we have, which is a very important number. But they're hiding this extra little $7 trillion over at the Fed. So, yeah, I got to tell you, we could get a V++ there, President Trump. And they're going for that with another $1 trillion infrastructure spending bill that they're talking about. The Democrats are talking about another $3 trillion in benefits and more COVID bailouts. So I would imagine if Trump is proposing $1 trillion in infrastructure and the Democrats are doing $3 trillion, we'll probably end up somewhere around $2 trillion, $2.5 trillion more coming. Yeah, I guess you can bounce the economy. Why don't you just print up another $20 trillion? We'll have a V++++. Now, many people support that. Well, look, we had to do something. This was an emergency situation. Yeah, we had to do something, which was nothing, instead of locking down the entire economy. But I will just tell you this. That sure as hell ain't capitalism. You got Larry Kudlow there, who is this Wall Street darling, as the chief economic advisor, now ushering in socialism. That's what you just heard. You just heard Donald Trump and Larry Kudlow. I'm not picking on Donald Trump because I have Trump derangement syndrome. I'm telling you the facts. They are cheering this socialist system and proposing more and more spending every day. They made a huge mistake with their response to coronavirus. Now, it wasn't just the federal government. It was also state governments and local governments down to the city level. But to then go full on socialism and spend $10 trillion and brag about the fact that things are bouncing back like it's some miracle of the free market, pent-up demand. It's just consumers going out to spend while we're seeing these food assistant lines for miles. We've got tens of millions of Americans on unemployment right now. To act like, oh, everything's just going great. Now, they did announce again with another stock pump and dump last night at 2:34 in the morning, something like that. Bloomberg comes out with a report saying, oh, the China trade deal's going great. We're back to that same thing again. Wouldn't you like to be one of the insiders who knew that Bloomberg was going to come out with an article about positive developments in the China trade deal? Because the market popped on that news. If you knew that that report was coming out before it came out, you made a little bit of money in the market today. Lather, rinse, repeat. They do this over and over. But none of this is capitalism. It's socialism. You can cheer for it if you want to, but you might as well cheer for Bernie Sanders.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday, last hour of the week. I usually divide that into a couple of segments. I do one. I've called it False Flag Friday, where I talked about a lot of the ways people are deceived into going to war throughout history, largely focusing on American warmongers. I don't always do really false flag stuff now, as in the foreign policy stuff. I'm always on guard for that stuff, but I might change the name of the segment something like Warmonger Watch, or, you know, I like my alliteration. So there's Warmonger Watch, there's Foreign Policy Fail Friday. We just have got a horrible foreign policy in the United States and have for decades and decades. And I don't know why we've allowed it. It's very interesting that a Christian nation allows this kind of bullying that the United States does. This is not anti-American. It is more aligned with what the founding fathers wanted for this country. Something I looked up during the break, I don't know why this really hit me. I was talking at the end of last hour about the tremendous debt. Larry Kudlow and Donald Trump talking about this V-shaped recovery and how everything's bouncing back and everything's going to be great by the first quarter of 2021. And they just leave out the fact, well, it took $10 trillion of new debt to do it. They don't want to talk about that because that would admit to the fact we've gone just basically to a socialist system, a completely centrally planned socialist system. And so I guess that got me thinking, because a lot of people believe that when it comes to foreign policy stuff, who are the big threats to the United States? Now, you can say China. China's definitely a problem. China's one to keep our eye on, I'll admit to you. We probably don't want to start a war with 1.3 billion people who are also allies with Russia, because our foreign policy has tried to bully Russia for the last 10 years. So I'll give you China's. There are definitely some problems there, a brutal communist dictatorship. But a lot of other people say, well, who else is a threat to the United States? Well, North Korea, one of the poorest countries in Asia. They got like a $50 billion a year GDP. But you think that suddenly they're going to commit national suicide and attack the United States. So there's North Korea. And of course, who's the biggie? Iran. Iran. They basically have hardly an air force, barely a navy. They're half a world away. Yet that's the big existential threat to the United States. They must be countered. That's why we've got 38 bases surrounding Iran right now. You've been convinced that this is somehow a good idea. But to tie the two things together, the debt and this empire we've built, it made me think about something during the break. How much debt did the Soviet Union have when they collapsed? Are you old enough to remember this? I was a child of the 80s, man. The Soviet Union, the Red Menace, it was quite the foe in the Cold War that I lived through. But the Soviet Union was just humming along. You know, the Rocky movies were taking on Ivan Drago. And they showed all the high-tech training that he was doing over in Russia. I mean, the Russians were putting out these athletes and competing at the Olympics. The Soviet Union was just humming along. Now, they were a communist dictatorship. I was no fan of the communist government over there. But they were humming along. And then suddenly in 1989, just kaplunk, oops, cracked apart. And so I was curious, how much debt did they have? Because that is really what ultimately sunk the Soviet Union. They bankrupted themselves, particularly in Afghanistan. Now, a communist system like that will always go bankrupt. It's impossible to have a communist empire that is successful. China's been able to run one for a while now because we've been buying so many products from them. We've been shipping so many U.S. dollars over there that they've built a nice little communist system over there for themselves, but long term it will never work. China's in massive amounts of debt. But I was curious, what led to the collapse of the Soviet Union? Because that was largely financial. Guess how much debt the Soviet Union had when they collapsed. Now, keep in mind, we currently have, I don't know if we've crossed 27 trillion since I came on the air. The trillions are going by in a matter of weeks now. It took something like 22 years to get the first trillion. Now we're doing it in the span of a month. We're adding a trillion. So we've got $26, $27 trillion in debt. Add on the Federal Reserve's other seven. We got $34 trillion of debt right now and about $120 trillion of unfunded liabilities coming down the pike at us. Medicare, Medicaid, all kinds of promises these politicians have made. $120 trillion. I won't even count that. Let's just keep it about the $34 trillion we have in debt right now, right? The America's humming along, V-shaped recovery and all that. Do you know how much debt the Soviet Union had when it collapsed? $104.5 billion. I don't want to leave out that 500 million. $104.5 billion caused the Soviet Union to collapse. So if you think the existential threat to this country is Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, or Syria, you are missing the existential threat to the United States, and it is the spending. In that vein, listen to this. This is what our foreign policy establishment has been up to, and then I'm going to get into John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. When you do a warmonger's report, you can't leave those two guys out. On Wednesday, the United States imposed its harshest sanctions against Syria, aimed at withholding revenues from the country's authorities led by President Bashar al-Assad to prevent him from achieving a, quote, military victory in the war that has continued since 2011. That's right. We've passed an now enacted Caesar law, and it is going to lay the heaviest sanctions ever on Syria. And I want you to think about this. In the time when the United States feels kind of civil war-ish, right? Protest in the streets, cities burning, racial tensions at all-time high. I think I saw a survey. A third of Americans think we're headed towards a civil war. How would you like it if during this time of strife, let's say this thing really does get kicked off. I don't believe it will, but there's a possibility. And we find ourselves in a full-on civil war. How would you like it if China laid sanctions on our country where we couldn't export oil, we couldn't bring in medical supplies, we couldn't do business with other countries, and if other countries tried to do business with us, the Chinese slapped them with sanctions? Because the Chinese say, we don't want your government to regain control over your country. How would that make you feel? Probably not great. Wouldn't you like a civil war to be able to be ended by the government? But we have decided voluntarily, and again, Syria has done nothing to us. Absolutely nothing. I was going to go further down in the story, but it really, I mean, the details of it are almost inconsequential. We have enacted these harshest sanctions ever. We have provided money to radical jihadists. We have funded, sponsored, trained radical jihadists to go in and foment a civil war in Syria that they are at the verge of winning. And when they're at the verge of winning, every time they get close to regaining their own country, they are a sovereign country. They're not our puppet. They're not our child. They're not our employee. Whether you like the government there or not, tough noogies. There's, what, 194 countries around the world. I got problems with a ton of their governments. I don't think we get to run the show. But right when they're at the cusp of getting their country back after 10 years, 9 years of brutal civil war, our government comes in with heavier sanctions to stop them from ending the war. As a Christian nation, I don't know how we stand by and allow this to happen. I know most people aren't paying attention to it right now, but I think it is another one of these teachable moments at a time where we see our country in some level of strife. How would you like, on top of that, us to be economically strangled at the same time? Now, we have been kind of economically strangled, but our own governments did it to us, right? They shut down the entire economy. They arrested people who wanted to go in and cut somebody's hair. But just imagine another country layering that on and surrounding us with warships and threatening anybody who dared to send us oil or send us medical supplies or send us food. We are doing that. It is that easy. I am not wrong about this. I am not anti-American. I'm pro-America. We've been hijacked by psychopaths. Somebody wrote underneath this story a comment that's always encouraging for me to know there's somebody else out there who sees this. This is a comment they wrote. What harm have Syrians ever inflicted on the American people? What heinous sins do they commit? For what cause is America throwing mountains of treasure and an increasing number of human lives away, warring against an ordinary country on the opposite side of the planet? How is this congruent with any of the United States Constitution? All great questions that nobody wants to ask or answer. This is just seems to be the way we operate. It's disgusting. It should end. And Donald Trump should be held accountable for doing this. This is the kind of thing he told us he was going to be getting us out of. Sanctions are an act of war. People say, well, he hadn't started any new wars. Well, he's prolonged some that did not need to be prolonged in Yemen, in Syria, with Iran, with Venezuela. And he didn't seal the deal in North Korea either. Now, it's partially because of who we'll talk about next, John Bolton. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Sounds like John Bolton and our Justice Department are headed to court. Did I hear this afternoon on the news break saying that they are going, the Department of Justice has gone after John Bolton for publishing this book, saying it contains classified material. John Bolton says it's already been through the process. Apparently the White House had this manuscript for 4 months. John Bolton is a piece of human refuse. He is the worst among us, and has been for decades. John Bolton is responsible for the loss of probably millions of lives. Maybe not wholly. He was part of a cabal of people. But let me just tell you this. If you think of a Mississippi summer as hot, where John Bolton goes when he passes his mortal coil will be tremendously, tremendously hotter. And I've been saying this since the day he was even considered for an administration post. Yet I was told, Mike, you don't understand. This is 3D chess. He's bringing his enemies closer. He's bringing in a pit bull to scare the rest of the world to go with what Trump would never use him. And see, he never got any of the wars. I take a little bit of exception with that in the fact that the Trump administration ordered the assassination of the general with Iran, and Iran's restraint and response for that, it's pretty shocking to me that they didn't start a war. Iran knows if they start a war with us, they're going down. They cannot hang with us. But I am surprised they did not accelerate that, but it was not for lack of trying on the U.S. part to get a little something kicked off. I don't know what we would do in this country if the Chinese assassinated our top general, but I gotta say, I think a lot of Americans would be upset. You probably wouldn't see that. You probably wouldn't say, well, I'm sure they had a good reason. But John Bolton now is going to cause a lot of problems. I believe this book is going to be a big deal. He's got an interview Sunday night with Martha Raddatz, and you know the left is lining up. They're loving this. This is the thing that's so disgusting to me about the left. You used to be anti-war. You used to at least be pro-civil liberties and anti-war, but the left has lost all of that. Barack Obama convinced them it's cool to bomb a bunch of innocent people halfway around the world, and now you embrace the intelligence services, the CIA, the FBI, just because you think they're going after Donald Trump. And now you love John Bolton. You spent decades and decades, starting in the 1960s, telling us you were about peace and love and anti-war, and now John Bolton, one of the biggest warmongers to ever walk planet Earth, is your new hero on the left. It is disgusting to watch. Now, this is going to cause a lot of problems, as I say. This book is going to get out there. If they're successful in court, it's going to be pointed to as a cover-up. The damage of this book is largely already done, regardless of what happens in court now. If they stop the release of this book, it will be seen as a cover-up, and copies of the book have already been leaked to the press. It will get out there. If they are unsuccessful in it, the book will make the rounds, and we'll be hearing about it for, I don't know, the next week. It's already largely kind of played itself out, but it will be the subject of a lot of campaign ads to slam Donald Trump as John Bolton. The warmongering John Bolton is now the left's new hero. It's so gross to watch. Mike Pompeo responded today. He said, quote, "I've not read the book, but from the excerpts I've seen and published, John Bolton is spreading a number of lies, fully spun half-truths, and outright falsehoods. It is both sad and dangerous that John Bolton's final public role is that of traitor, who damaged America by violating his sacred trust with the people. To our friends around the world, you know President Trump's America is a force for good in the world. Yes, we are starving people around the world for their own good. We're dropping love bombs on those poor people in Yemen right now. Now, this is John Bolton, the disgusting, filthy, warmongering war whore, going up against Mike Pompeo, the equally disgusting warmonger who not that long ago, as he critiques John Bolton and calls John Bolton a liar, Mike Pompeo said this about himself not long ago.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It's like we had entire training courses.
Here it comes. Here's the beautiful part.
It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
We were taught to lie, cheat, and steal. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment. These are the psychopaths that are in charge of your foreign policy in this country and have been for decades. Now, I would say, I wish beyond wish that Donald Trump would take this as a teachable moment. Donald Trump, during his tenure, he campaigned, and I voted for him enthusiastically on his saying he was going to remove our troops from the Middle East and end the endless wars. In the meantime, however, he has tried to appease the war party, the warmongers, the neocons, by hiring a bunch of them and then giving the military, the Pentagon, and all the defense contractors $2.5 trillion. He's cranked up hostilities with Iran, even murdering one of their generals. He's cranked up hostilities with Venezuela. He's vetoed a bill to even end the Yemeni war because the defense contractors want to keep selling all those weapons to Saudi Arabia, so they want to keep them happy. And how do you keep them happy? Well, you help them slaughter tens of thousands of people in the poorest country in the Middle East. Donald Trump has given all of this to the neocons, and they still are coming after him. He had a chance to make a real difference in American foreign policy. He had a chance to become a businessman who understands trade, get us good trade deals, stop the endless wars that are bleeding us dry. Again, the Soviet Union collapsed on $105 billion of debt. And a large part of that was their foreign entanglements, their empire they were trying to build. They could not sustain financially. Donald Trump had a great opportunity to exit all this stuff, but he decided to appease the warmongers, and it didn't stop them from coming after him. If he gets a second term, I would hope that he might recognize that and return to his pre-2017 roots during the campaign where he told us he was going to rein this thing in. Because nothing will be enough. They may be mad at him they hadn't started a war with Iran. I do fear if Trump gets reelected that that war will go hot. But this is an opportunity for him to learn, hey, even if I take the Iran war hot, they're not going to leave me alone. Nothing's ever enough for these psychopaths. Just the fact that he talks about peace and ending wars and bringing troops home is enough to get the military-industrial complex, the intelligence agencies, and neocons like John Bolton to come after him. He cannot win with these people. You cannot appease them. He has to start every war they want or they're going to come after him. He'd do better to educate the American people by ending these wars and actually do it.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Last half hour of a Friday, we try to take a break and laugh at some stuff. And at this point, you need to laugh. There's plenty of aggravating things out there, but some of them are so absurd that we stick them into our little segment at the end of the week, call it a look back at the lunacy of the last week. We'll start with COVID craziness. It's still going on. People are still losing their minds over the disease. By now, you've all seen them. The arrows that are placed on the floors at stores to try and help customers keep up with social distancing rules. And while you may have had an even friendly engagement with other shoppers about somebody going the wrong way down a one-way aisle, it probably was nothing like what took place in a Tampa, Florida Goodwill last week. Two shoppers wound up under arrest for battery after 29-year-old Jenna Sims and 50-year-old Paul Turner wound up in a confrontation on a Tampa store, quote, over the floor directions due to COVID-19. Sims apparently became upset after noticing Turner going the wrong way down an aisle, which led to an argument, which then apparently broke out into fisticuffs. It would have just been perfect, absolutely perfect, if this woman's name had been, in actuality, Karen. Let's see what else we've got here. This is just kind of shows you just the insanity of the whole thing. The hydroxychloroquine thing is still being debated. And whenever somebody tells you the science is settled, don't listen to the science. I've warned you about this over and over. I won't repeat myself. Science is always evolving. And it is just so funny that after months and months and months of this crisis, we still have reports like this.
At Houston's United Memorial Medical Center, dozens of patients with the coronavirus have taken hydroxychloroquine. The drug was traditionally used against malaria until the pandemic broke out.
We have a survival rate of more than 99%.
Dr. Joseph Varone is the chief medical officer here.
Hydroxychloroquine works. I know that a lot of people think that it doesn't, but, you know, we have treated more than 100 patients in the hospital with hydroxychloroquine, and the patients have done well.
The FDA has now revoked its emergency use authorization, saying the drug is not likely to be effective in treating COVID-19 and the benefits no longer outweigh the potential risks, such as heart problems.
Well, hydroxychloroquine should have never made it to the FDA emergency use.
Dr. Layla Watt Coburn is an infectious disease specialist and associate professor at Baylor College of Medicine. She says the drug can have harmful side effects.
In our haste to make someone better, we wanted to try everything. And sometimes by doing that, you actually make it worse.
It usually takes about 3 to 4 days before you can start seeing an improvement in patients. But by day 4 or day 5, they really do better.
Dr. Varone believes the drug is effective for coronavirus as long as it's given early to patients and they're closely monitored in the hospital.
Yeah, so the FDA, so this guy's on the front lines. We're supposed to really respect the people on the front lines, right? He's going, it works. We've had a 99% success rate with hydroxychloroquine, and you have this other doctor come on and go, oh, it's very dangerous, and the FDA has withdrawn the emergency measures that allows doctors to prescribe it. I mean, if nothing else, I am really hoping that people's faith in government is being shaken every single day. Other faith that should be shaken is in our, air quotes here in the studio, leaders in Washington, D.C. This is Jerry Nadler yesterday leading, or not yesterday, a couple of days ago, leading some goings-on in the House.
The gentleman yields back. I want to announce that in accordance with what I said this morning, the attending physician of the House has said that it is imperative for the health and safety of people in this room that members wear masks. I would greatly prefer that all present simply uphold the decorum of the committee by complying with reasonable safety standards that are recommended by the attending physician and are respectful of all the occupants of this room. I have been greatly lenient today. However, I will tell you now that anyone who is not wearing a mask will not be recognized to speak, period. Who seeks recognition?
Now, again, remember, these people are running our lives. Listen to this.
Recognition.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Escobar,
a point of parliamentary...
Ms. Escobar is recognized.
What's happening is Jerry Nadler won't recognize anybody who's not wearing a mask. And it's the Republicans' turn to talk, and apparently they're not wearing a mask. So he will not hear them. Again, within context, I say, these people are running our lives.
Ms. Escobar.
Clintock has tried repeatedly to make his point. Repeatedly.
Ms. Escobar has the time.
Mr. Chairman.
No, it's our side. You just had a Democrat speak. It's our
Ms.
turn.
Ms. Escobar has the time. Ms. Escobar
no,
has
she
the time.
Doesn't.
Ms. Escobar has the time.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms.
Escobar has the time.
I think Mr. Liu just spoke. Yeah, it's Republicans' turn, and Mr. McClintock.
If you don't think the Democrats are a bunch of authoritarian thugs, just listen to Jerry Nadler try to run this thing. He's just decided if you're not wearing a mask, you don't get heard in the United States Congress. It's just his decision, as you'll hear in just a second.
Has tried now for several minutes to be recognized on a point of order.
There's no point of order, but who seeks recognition to speak?
Mr. Chairman, I seek recognition for a point of parliamentary inquiry.
This gentleman will state his point of parliamentary inquiry.
I would like the chairman to cite the House rule requiring members to wear masks in House proceedings. If we had such a vote, I don't recall it. If we have such a vote, I will vote against it, but I will be happy to abide by it if the House so decides. Until then, I would like you to cite me that rule, since I obviously missed that vote.
The chair's authority to enforce the preservation of order and decorum during committee proceedings derives from the speaker's enforcement authority under Clause 2 of Rule 1.
Shut up, slave! That's Jerry Nadler right there, laying the law down. Now, a couple of things. One is, I wish we had the British style. I've played it on this show a couple times where they all just get to boo and hiss and call out, you know, where there's not any of this sense of decorum. Because these nut jobs in Washington, D.C. do nothing but damage. We might as well turn it into a complete mockery and just a complete side. At least make it entertaining. I hate all this. The right honorable gentleman from Nebraska has the... Come on. 95% of you people don't have a lick of honor in any of you. I'm not a big mask guy, but for particularly the Democrats and a lot of Republicans, I would prefer a muzzle. I would be all in favor of some kind of a muzzle rule in Washington, D.C. And then also, this is the body. This is the group that is running our lives. And this is why I, my friends, am a libertarian, because I realize that a political class will never run this country correctly. Here is Anthony Fauci this week came out and admitted that he lied to the American people. Anthony Fauci lied and risked the health, according to his own account of this, he risked the health of 330 million Americans with a lie a couple of months ago, and he admits it here.
What about a month or so, or two or three ago, when people were saying, you don't really need to wear a mask? Well, the reason for that is that we were concerned, the public health community, and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks and the surgical masks, were in very short supply. And we wanted to make sure that the people, namely the healthcare workers, who were brave enough to put themselves in harm's way to take care of people who you know were infected with the coronavirus and the danger of them getting infected, we did not want them to be without the equipment that they needed. So there was not enthusiasm about going out and everybody buying a mask or getting a mask. We were afraid that that would deter away from the people who really needed it.
So what he is saying there, now, what he could have said was, at the time, if mask or what he's saying is, we lied to the American people. We wanted to trick them and tell them masks didn't really matter, even though that put them at risk. Now, these are his words. He now tells you, you need to wear a mask. You're at risk. So his idea is, well, I know everybody will be at risk, but I think a bunch of dumb Americans will run out there and take all the masks from the healthcare professionals. Now, he could have come out and said, look, masks are effective, but you need to stay home right now to make sure that all the masks go to the first responders first. Now, whether Americans would have abided by that or we would have hoarded the masks or whatever, I don't know. But the bottom line is he lied. According to his own philosophy of masks are essential now, he lied to you and put you at risk because they didn't have enough masks, which brings up my second point, which is, Dr. Fauci, you run a department with a $10 billion a year budget. Your whole existence is based around planning for things like pandemics. In a $10 billion annual budget, this comes every year, year in, year out, you didn't collect enough 10-cent masks to make sure that the medical establishment was taken care of in case of a pandemic. Masks don't spoil. They don't take up a lot of space. They cost about a nickel a piece when you buy them in bulk. Yet the CDC, under Dr. Anthony Fauci, has never seen fit to prepare us for this with enough 5 or 10 cent N95 masks so that when it actually hits, the people are free to go out and get masks to protect themselves because they are prepared to cover the first responders. Number one, this guy lied to you then. He's been lying to you ever since. But also, your government and these big bureaucracies failed you. They should have been prepared for this. The mask shortage should never have been an issue. They should have been preparing for it for years. They knew what a pandemic was. This isn't the first one ever. So your faith in this, and just watch. The CDC's budget next year, I predict, is going to go, anyone up. After this massive, catastrophic failure, unlike the private sector, when you fail, you go out of business or you're replaced. No, the CDC will be rewarded with even a bigger budget. And I'll make another prediction. The next time something else hits, they'll be as equally unprepared and inefficient as that. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the racism, the Civil War. We'll get into Black Lives Matter. Plenty of things going on that front, too, that were nuts this past week. Stay with me.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for the week. Father's Day coming up on Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Let me let you in on a secret. If you are looking to do something nice for dad, take him out for a meal maybe would be nice. Let me let you in on a little secret from a dad. Dads love pizza. I will be insisting that my children take me to Your Pie out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, for one of their brick oven fired pizzas. I like the Nat or the Lineage. That you make it your own if you want to. You can go from down the line and get them to make it any way you want it. They got a great menu. They've also got pastas, paninis. They've got salads. They've got beers there. They've got televisions. Don't know if any of the sports are actually going on Sunday. But if you want a nice Father's Day out, you want to take your dad, if you're one of those kids out there, still not in school, so maybe you can listen to the Mike Madison Show. You want to take your dad somewhere nice, take him out to Your Pie. I promise you, he will absolutely love it. It's a great staff out there. This is a veteran-owned business, one of these local small businesses that has put their head down to try to make it through the insanity of the last 3 months and survive as a business. We need to support these people. Again, that's Your Pie. They're out at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt. If you can't get out there, you want to cater a nice lunch or dinner for your dad, then you can download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie on there, have it delivered. Make sure you get the Your Pie app. You'll get all kinds of specials, little goodies, free things or discounts depending on the day of the week or the promotion they're running. That's the Your Pie app. But check them out. You'll certainly make Dad happy if you do that for him this weekend. All right, we're going to finish up. Look, I think we're about to take one talking issue off of the table. I think there's a real chance of this. I could be surprised. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I don't know if you know, but she is being challenged in New York by somebody very capable. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Michelle Caruso Cabrera. She's been a longtime CNBC commentator. I've been watching her for years and years. I don't know how leftist she is, But she's tough, and she's smart, and she is going up against AOC after finally being goaded into participating in the in-person Park Chester Times debate on Wednesday. New York District 14's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez showed up to debate opponent Michelle Caruso Cabrera, but she wouldn't take the stage and allow the event to start with the media or audience members in the room, according to the publication that hosted the event. AOC reportedly, quote, demanded reporters leave the room before she took the stage to debate Cabrera Caruso. According to the Park Chester Times, who labeled her a bully in their coverage of the event. And MCC, that's going to be, I guess, the new acronym, when she puts down AOC, Michelle Carrera Cabruso, I'm already messing up her name, she went on a tear. She said she's a socialist. This is one of her tweets. She's a socialist. This conduct would make the Politburo blush. She threw out residents of the 14th Congressional District who wanted to attend this debate. Like a petulant child, AOC refused to take the stage until all of these individuals were removed from the room. What kind of a representative does that? Caruso Cabrera said. AOC may not be long for this world. It will be a fitting end to her as just a shooting star on the left's scene. This one you've already heard that took place in the past week. Mike Gundy, the coach of Oklahoma State, came out and apologized.
I had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the T-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter,
that's OAN,
I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days.
He wore a T-shirt. He wore an OA. No, he was not wearing a Klansman hood. No, he was not prancing around doing a minstrel show in blackface. He wore a T-shirt with the One American News Network logo on it from his day off while I believe he was fishing. And apparently these rough-and-tumble football players, who my understanding is are kind of tough guys, got hurt and offended. It caused them pain and discomfort that the guy wore a T-shirt on a fishing trip. Here, one Taco Bell employee this past week was not taking it. He was going to show his pride in Black Lives Matter no matter what his corporate master said.
You just fired me because I got a Black Lives Matter on. You just told me I had to go home because I got a Black...
You weren't going to take it off.
I'm not. Because I'm standing up for what was right. I'm not taking it off. Tammy said we could wear whatever mask.
No, she did not. She said it had to be plain. You can't bring politics into the building.
Bro, I'm not bringing politics in. This is what I'm standing for. Like, how is this considered politics?
How is it not, Denzel?
I'm not taking it off.
Okay, well then there's nothing I can do for you. I'm just doing my job.
I'm doing mine too. And I'm standing up for my peoples too.
You don't get it.
You don't either.
No, I do get it.
No, you don't. Because if you did, this wouldn't be a problem.
It's not that it's a problem with me, Denzel. It's a company thing.
Man, I ain't trying to hear that.
You let somebody wear something that said something about white people on it?
Bro, if that's what they stand for, yes.
I'm not against for what you stand for either, but I have to do what the company says.
Taco Bell lost her true treasure there. I mean, if you just can't understand when something is appropriate and when it's not and when it can cause you problems, then it's just not much we can help you with. This was just kind of interesting to me. This is Martha McCallum from Fox News, who is stunningly gorgeous. I think it's her eyes. There's something about her. She's intoxicating to look at. Anyway, she read a tweet from somebody from Chaz, or now they're calling it Chop or whatever it is now, that I thought was kind of funny because I'm going to tell you where it actually came from.
Learning that there is infighting among some of the occupiers and some signs of rebellion against Raz Simone, who we introduced you to here on the story last night. One posting on social media that has now been deleted read this: I didn't vote for Raz. I thought we were an autonomous collective, an anarcho-syndicalist commune at the least. We should take turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week. That's just part of that.
So what's funny about that, and I never would have figured this out myself, the No Agenda show, which is a great podcast if you ever want to check it out, brought this to my attention. That tweet that somebody sent about Chaz and the structure, power structure there actually is almost verbatim from Monty Python. Here's the Monty Python clip.
Didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
So the structure for this Seattle autonomous zone apparently turned out to be something that originally started with Monty Python. God, I'm running out of clips here. Let me running out of time here. Let's see what else I find. I wanted to play this one thing because I wanted to make a comparison to something. This is Dick Durbin talking about Tim Scott running this kind of racial reconciliation police bill that they had.
Let's not do something that is a token, half-hearted approach.
That accusation did not sit well with Senator Scott, who called Durbin's use of the word token as race baiting.
Now, what would they have called it if Donald Trump had said the word token? It would have been called a dog whistle to the racists out there. Running out of time, but if we don't have enough to worry about, according to some conspiracy theorists on Twitter, the Mayan prophecy about a cataclysmic end to the world that supposedly would bring the world to a crashing halt on December 12, 2012 was actually misinterpreted. It appears that the end of the world may actually be tomorrow. When they add up all the numbers and they redid the math, it all ends tomorrow. Kind of feels fitting for 2020, but let's hope it doesn't happen. We can at least see another Father's Day. Anyway, congratulations to you fathers out there. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Hopefully. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.